We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
Giggles himself is in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Blair Kirkhoff, brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. They're giggling it up there with great deals at I-35 and Santa Fe, number one volume Buick GMC dealership in the metro area, voted in the number one car dealer to do business with in Olathe time and time again. Why? Because they give you great deals. They're Robert Brogdon, Buick GMC, I-35 in Santa Fe. Blair, how are you?
Doing well. I trust that you are as well.
You have an incredible array of golf shirts. And I say this to be like, you know, not like you're like a big golf guy.
I'm not.
But like the short sleeve with the little collar, that those are golf shirts, right?
Yeah, I guess.
So what do you call them?
Well,
polos.
Yeah, polos.
Some people call them polos.
Polos, pullovers.
You have an incredible array. I have four, and I rotate them through.
Well, what?
I actually have about nine, maybe, but I have vowed to not buy another article of clothing as long as I live. Do you think I can hold true to that?
Yes, yes. As long as you're married, absolutely.
Well,
the thing is, here's what he's kind of like me. He has a one set of clothes for one weight.
Yeah.
And he has one set of clothes for another weight.
That's
and
true.
He just kind of goes back and forth. And it looks like he's got to, you know, he refreshes his wardrobe up every 6 months. It's just like most people are our size. We go up, we go down. He's always wearing something different.
What you have that I don't is an incredible collection of sports gear.
Oh, really?
Yes. I don't, I've never had that. I've come in usually in, today it's like 90 degrees out and you're in a sweat.
I'm in a hoodie because it's not 90 in
no,
here.
It's
usually
not.
40 in here.
It's usually about 40 when we walk in and take over from the Border Patrol.
But
I have a hoodie. I have a Mr. Rogers hoodie for you young kids out there. It was a show that was on TV with this guy who every time would come in and put on his little sweater,
yes,
change his shoes. So I have a Mr. Rogers style hoodie that I keep downstairs so that I can dress for the appropriate weather. But then when I come into the Arctic studio, I put on the hoodie.
It's like 95. You're like, my nose is cold. Why is that?
The Arctic Circle here.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, again, your collection is impressive.
My hoodie collection is strong.
Is it strong, the hoodies?
It is. It is. I couldn't find a good USC hoodie. I was out in L.A. Over the weekend. I was looking for a really good USC hoodie.
Yeah.
And there was kind of a busy trip, so
and
I didn't have a chance
to
shop.
You were like at the
brothers.
Campus, too, right?
I was. We were on campus.
Gated,
I was at the damn campus bookstore. They had plenty of stuff. They don't, I wasn't stunned that they didn't have a huge array of hoodies in Los Angeles, California in June.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean,
right.
I get it. They were much more T-shirt oriented, but I prefer the hoodie to just some T-shirt that you're going to sweat up in the gym and have to throw away in a year and a half anyway. Now, the hoodie, it's got staying power.
It does. It does.
Plus, it upsets my wife to have to wash them all the time. I can feel like four of your stupid hoodies in here. Because, by the way, anyone who's heard my wife knows my wife. That's how she talks.
Yes.
Dead ringer. Like,
even when she's happy.
Yeah. I'm so happy. It's a really good day.
Exactly how it sounds, right?
And why wouldn't she be happy all the time married to this?
I can see her rolling her eyes right now. He also has a strong hat game. I'll give him that.
I have a really strong hat game. I don't break the hat game out as much.
Yeah.
I have a really strong game. That's another one I hear all the time. Do you really need an entire shelf for all your hats? No, honey, you're missing this down here. I need two.
I need two shelves.
And that's stacked, folded together the right way.
Yes.
I have two full shelves of hats. Oh, you bought another hat. Well, thank God, because you didn't have any. That's the other voice when she really gets going. 13 years, and we're still finding
still
that comfort zone, you know?
Still right there.
Been married for 13 years. It's three of the happiest
years. Three of the best. One of the best for her, but three for me. Yeah, she told me that was in my anniversary card this year. 13 years, one of the best years of my life. Yeah.
She just signed whatever.
I believe it was handed to me with here as a loving, you know, here.
The inscription was, whatever.
Was your name on the card or on the envelope or anything? Or just,
it's kind of as a scribble.
It's just a line.
You know, there it is. It's meant with all the love and passion that you'd expect, Blair, 13 years in. How long you been married?
32,
30. Oh, how'd you do it?
33.
How'd you do it?
I just got a call from my dad.
Long enough that you don't even know. That's great. That is fantastic.
I just got a call from my dad who wanted to alert me that this Sunday in the newspaper in his where he lives, there will be a photo of he and my mother celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, yeah. So maybe just, you know, we're just too lazy to not be married. Might as well stay
too
married.
Lazy to file the paperwork. And just too cheap to pay for what it would take to get out.
That's, and have to move stuff out of the house. Just stay married.
Yeah. I bet that's probably a bigger factor in long-lasting marriages than people would like to believe.
Oh, it's a factor. You learn right away. You know what? I'm done with you. Fine, we're done. We're over. No. Then add on the layer of kids. No, you're going to eat it, man.
Absolutely.
One way or another. I told the kids. I told the interns, their kids. I said, look, every job, this is one of the things I tell all the interns. Every job, you got to take a bite of the dump sandwich. I don't use the word dump, though.
Yeah.
Every job. I don't care what. Cliff Illig has to take a bite of the dump sandwich at Cerner and Sporting, right? Neil Patterson, those guys have to take a bite of the dump sandwich. What it comes down to is how big a bite do they make you take and how much sauce do they give you to help get it down? I said, now, and there's something that I had to do. And I said to him, I said, now, I just took a bite of the dump sandwich there. That's me eating blank. Okay? That's what it is. But here at A10, we get quite a bit of sauce. You know, there's quite a bit of sauce.
Indeed.
So, but don't ever think there's a job where you don't have to take a bite of the dump sandwich. Cliff Illig went to work one day, I guarantee you. I figure him and Neil Patterson are the richest guys. They got to have the best gigs going in this town,
In this city,
In this town. Own their own company, huge multi-billion-dollar company. Employing, got to be feel great about it. Employing numerous people around Kansas City, a successful sports franchise, right? They got to be the happiest. They got to be whistling zippity-doo-dah from places we don't like to talk about, right? But I guarantee you there are days they went in and went, guy goes, yeah, Cliff, got to... What? Again? I guarantee you, even Cliff Illig had to take a bite of the sandwich.
Probably more so than most people.
Well, marriages are like that too. You're gonna have to take a bite. That's just it.
It's just it.
But how much sauce do you get?
Yeah.
And how big is the bite?
Well, it reminds me of the Louis C.K.'s best bits about. He said, when I got married, I realized, I can't leave now.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't want to leave. But now I really can't leave.
Yeah, right. I could have left, but now I can't.
Then you have kids, and you're like, damn, I could have left.
Now with kids, I really can't.
I really can't leave.
And you know what's even funnier about that bit? Is then he left.
He
got divorced.
I don't think he left on his... I don't think it was his idea.
I don't know. But
he says, it's somebody, great now.
Either he or she figured out that, no, this routine is not right. You can still leave.
It's like, the best part of my marriage has been the divorce. It's been fantastic. If you're having a good marriage, fine. That's great. But I'm just saying it'd be better if you got divorced. A marriage, you have to survive a marriage. Divorce, there's nothing there. No one's ever gone, my divorce is going so terrible. No, it's done.
That's actually not true.
Well, way past it. I'm trying to keep my divorce alive here.
I'm really trying to fight for my divorce.
Yeah.
The process, I've heard a lot of complaints about the process. It is a deterrent.
Well, absolutely. You know, absolutely. That's why there are...
I'm not saying that it's been my... I was just like, how did that sound? Not good. Let me back up from there.
The fact that there are attorneys advertising on radio stations like this, specifically for the men.
I always thought maybe I'd go into law and open a practice similar to that and be like, do you want to get that wench? Let me tell you something. And, you know, over here at Angry, Sour, Bitter, and Stupid, I love me some lawyers, Blair. I love paying for lawyers.
I know that about you.
Yeah.
Yep.
I will not be deterred.
I also know that about you.
I will not be worn down.
And
no matter how much the other lawyers might think that they can create costs for me and get me to quit, you scumbags out there listening, no, I'm not quitting.
That's right.
Nor is my wife. So strap yourself in. We're going the distance. For those of you that know me well, you know what I'm talking about. We ain't quitting. File your latest motion. I ain't quitting. Go ahead. Lathrop engage in your fee fest. Mwah! Mwah! I ain't going nowhere.
Well,
what do you want to talk about, Blair?
Oh, man. Well, I know a little bit about where you're going with that.
Yeah.
And Godspeed.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You're a kind
and
man.
I would bet on you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. We're clearly betting on us in this case, but that's for sure.
You're absolutely on the right side of this.
Well,
argument.
Thank you. I appreciate that. A subject for another day, yes. Perhaps here in the program. Maybe I'll let everybody in on it at some point. But anyway, so let's get to what you're here for, Blair. And
free coffee.
I was going to say to drink coffee, apparently.
How is the Joe today?
Delicious.
Is it good?
Perfect on a 90-degree day. That's what you want. I look forward
cup of coffee,
to
coffee. Yeah. I don't, you don't put ice in it?
No. It's such a. That's when you know you're old. You're old when coffee is a year-round beverage.
Not just the winter months.
Right.
Oh, warm myself up. A little caffeine pep. Okay, I'll have a little bit of this. When it's 105 and you're having a cup of Joe.
Still
even, hot.
Even after a workout, all you can think about is, I want that cup of coffee.
So let me ask you a question. I got a buddy who's addicted to the McDonald's coffee.
It's
like he comes in for the fantasy baseball. And he's, right. It's good coffee,
it's,
I hear.
It's, of the fast food chains, it's the best coffee.
Okay. So some love there. Mm-hmm. We were just out with all the McDonald's franchisees at Trent Green's. Which benefits the Ronald McDonald House. And I met
a lot of the great.
And I know a gentleman who owns, I think just one, who owns a number of franchises, a great guy, big fan of the program. So you know he's a great guy right there. That's
right.
Really
there
the line of demarcation. But so he comes in town for our baseball draft. We're headed in. So, yeah, I got to have my coffee, man. You got a McDonald's on? Of course I do. Yes. Do I know where the McDonald's is, please? Yeah. So we roll in and he's making his order. Yeah, like a McCafe, Frappa, whatever. I don't know what it was. Four creams and two. I'm like, that's a milkshake, man. Right. You're not addicted to coffee now. You're addicted to a milkshake. It's like 4,400 calories for one.
I readily admit, do you like coffee? I was like, yeah, but not if it tastes like coffee. You got to put so much stuff in my coffee. It's a coffee-related beverage.
I like coffee.
Coffee-adjacent.
Cake. Okay, if we're there, I like me some coffee cake.
Yeah.
I prefer like the brandy cake, or what is that stuff called, where they put the booze in? Oh, God, that's so
rum
good.
Cake?
Rum cake. Mm. Oh, yes.
That's very good.
You know what I like to do? Dip it in rum. Amazing.
Squeezes the rum out of the cake.
It really brings the rum flavor out of it. Especially after 13 years, man. I need some rum cake. You know?
That's rum cake. Don't judge me. You shut up.
We're not going anywhere this segment, so let's take a break and reboot. Blair Kirchhoff is here. We're going to talk about K-State's transfers. Talk a little college football. We'll talk some NBA draft. It's coming up next with Blair Kirchhoff from the Kansas City Star.
All right, the Westport Flea Market, end of the hour answer. What franchise has gone the longest without having a top five pick in the NBA draft? And I gave it a hint to those guessing.
And I've been thinking it through. I tried Mavericks, and you said that was my only guess.
Mavericks are the second longest drought. They haven't had a top five pick since 1994 with Jason Kidd. That was coming after back-to-back-to-back top five picks. Jim Jackson, Jamal Mashburn, and Jason Kidd.
Right. By the way, we're playing for the Westport Flea Market. Mm-hmm. Voted one of the top 100 burgers in the country, number 37, as a matter of fact. In honor of that, the Westport Flea Market all summer long is giving you buy one, get the second one for 37 cents on Tuesday. So take advantage of that burger special at the Westport Flea Market.
It's fun. There have been three teams that have had really long droughts until the 2000s. Lakers hadn't had one since 82 before D'Angelo Russell in 2015. There's 33 years. Then they've had back-to-back.
Indiana Pacers
have not had a top five draft pick since 1988.
Rick Smits, right?
Rick Smits.
Yep.
The Knicks hadn't had one since 86 till they drafted Porzingis in 15. That's almost 30 years. The Suns hadn't had one since 87 until 2013. That's 25 years. Portland hadn't had one in 30 years, or in 20 years, until 06 when they drafted Tyrus Thomas. He hadn't had one since 84. My favorite stat among this that I just uncovered.
Please share it with us, if you would, Curtis, if you'd be so kind.
The San Antonio Spurs have only had three in their history.
Oh, they've two made of them count.
But two of them have been 1-1.
Right. I mean, two of the
David Robinson and Tim Duncan.
Yep, and Sean Elliott at number 3 in 89. So just three top five picks ever and two first overalls.
Who, by the way, they were able to launch their franchise around because they took Elliott 3, and then that was the year David Robinson got out of the Navy. So they had a 1 and a 3 play for him in that first year, and that's part of the reason why. And Sean Elliott was a good player, not a great player, but he was a good player. But that's one of the reasons why they went from I think David Robinson is still – isn't that the single biggest single-season turnaround?
I think so.
1 year for a player? Because it was Bird in the Celtics. I think Robinson broke it.
For a player? You're talking about
– so they attribute it to a guy.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But obviously a biggest one-season turnaround.
How about Olajuwon with the Rockets?
Had to be pretty good.
I mean, they had Sampson the year before but still finished really low, and then Olajuwon came and they were – you know, they went from 20 wins in the 20s to wins in the 50s, I think.
Spurs went from 21 to 56. They went from 20 to 56 in Tim Duncan's first year.
Wow.
So that's 36.
And they won the championship. They won the championship in 99.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the biggest turnaround?
The Spurs at 36 was the first year of Tim Duncan. They went from 20 to 56. They went from 21 to 56 in Robinson's first year.
Oh, so the Duncan one was the bigger one.
It was one win more.
Okay. And that's the record?
I just looked at San Antonio's. I was looking to see how many games they jumped in Robinson's first year.
What about LeBron and the Cavs?
Let's see. LeBron and the Cavs?
They went from like 17 wins to like 30, 33.
All right.
They missed the play. They were not the greatest first year.
17 to 35.
Okay. 18. That's still a pretty good turn.
Yeah.
18 wins. What do you think about everyone seems to have settled in that it's Markelle Fultz followed by Lonzo Ball, and I think with the trade of D'Angelo Russell, that certainly seems to solidify Lonzo Ball. Going number two, I guess I'll have to learn to like that as a Laker fan, that or pick a new team, which I am frankly considering.
I think if you're a Laker fan, that's...
I like the kid, though. The kid's pretty humble. The dad is just...
I agree. I agree that when I watch Ball play a few times, twice against Kentucky, so you saw him against other NBA players... He was fantastic the first game, that regular season game in Lexington, and not as good, but still really good in the NCAA tournament loss. I like him. His shot's going to have to be broken down and fixed.
Now, you know, interesting, because I heard that's been my opinion too. And last night I was watching some of the NBA stuff because the Royals weren't on, and I'm a nerd. And Jay Billis was talking about it, and he said, look, he said, no, it doesn't start where you want it to start. He said, but when it finishes, it's up around where you want it to finish. He goes, I don't think they have to break his shot down. He said, first of all, he shoots it from deep.
He does.
Like,
shoot
he's got
deep.
Range.
Yeah, yeah.
They showed that he shot 41% from three versus Jason Kidd shooting 37%. They put up the numbers, freshman year numbers, Ball versus Kidd. And, you know, Kidd averaged 3.8 steals. Ball doesn't have that kind of defensive presence. Kidd was an incredible defensive presence.
He was great.
Rebounding-wise, they were similar. Scoring-wise, Ball, I think, might have been a little bit higher.
Isn't Ball a little taller?
He is. He's about 2 inches taller, if you believe the 6'6".
Mm-hmm.
Everybody agrees he's not the defensive player. He's not as quick. He's quick, but not – Jason Kidd was sick. I mean, he was big, physical, strong, and really quick. And I thought the one thing that wasn't fair about putting those numbers up was they didn't point out the fact that in 1993, you know, it was a big deal when Chris Webber came out that year as a sophomore. That was still a big deal. You had the juniors were coming out, but like a sophomore coming out was a big deal. It wasn't one in Dunville. Jason Kidd played against a lot more men than Lonzo Ball did there in the Pac-12. I mean, the best of the best were staying 4 years sometimes, always three.
Mm-hmm.
It was out of nowhere that, you know, when you were leaving after your sophomore year. I mean, that was a big deal when Weber came out after his sophomore year.
Kidd played twice against Kansas, I remember. They beat him in the NCAA tournament in 93, mm-hmm. and then they played him in the NIT in Lawrence the following year. Kansas won both of those games, but Kidd was just otherworld. Kid, his big moment was beating Duke to get to Kansas in the NCAA tournament, because Duke was coming off the back-to-back national championships. And then Kid, as a freshman, took down, you know, Grant Hill and just a great Duke team.
I think it's, you know, I don't think he's ever going to be the shooter that Kid ended up becoming. Kid was never a great percentage shooter, but he could knock it down. And when he forced you to come out and get him out there, he could knock it down well enough to force you to come get him. Then he could really just blow by
you.
And
look, a Hall of Famer. Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely Hall of Famer. And, you know, I he's not going to be the defensive presence, but that shot's going to need to go down. Because I don't know that the modern game, you can have a guy who's just a zero. Like I love Rajon Rondo's ability to dish it and steal it and defend and what he does, but I don't know that you can ever win a championship anymore with a guy who just flat out can't shoot it. You know, and they pointed out Ball's got a higher free throw percentage than Markelle Fultz. That's one of the things about Fultz. 65% for the free throw line makes you wonder, well, how good is that jumper if when no one's guarding him, he can only knock down 65%.
Right. Same as being said about Josh Jackson.
Yes. And so, you know, there's flaws, I think, in all the guys up there at the top to where it wouldn't be preposterous to take Josh Jackson number one. Now, they're not going to. The Sixers are going to take Fultz.
Right.
I think the Lakers are going to take
Ball.
And then at three, where do you go if you're the Celtics?
I think they're taking Jason Tatum. I do. I think they're taking
Tatum. Do you think that's the right pick over
Josh
Jackson?
I don't know. You know, did you hear what Danny Ainge said over the weekend, that the guy that they're going to pick at three is who they would have picked at one? So
right.
Maybe they would have really, changed the direction of the draft if they had taken Tatum first. But the Boston papers are full of, Tatum stories, that this is the guy. So I think Jackson may go to four. Is that Phoenix at four?
Phoenix is at four.
I think that's might be where he ends up.
Talking to Dave Burns from out there, works in Sports Talk out there, he said their dream scenario was Lonzo Ball making it to four. The second best is Josh Jackson there at four.
Mm.
So he really feels like if Lonzo Ball's not there, then Josh Jackson will be their pick, as opposed to taking yet another Kentucky guard.
Right.
I didn't even realize they have four.
It hasn't served them very well.
Knight, Bledsoe, Booker, and it's 70. That one's working. And
Ulis.
Yeah, Tyler Ulis is there now too. So they got four Kentucky point guards.
And they had Archie Goodwin for a while too.
Yeah. And somebody said that actually Calipari was lobbying them not to take Fox because he doesn't want other Kentucky guys not being able to play. He needs to spread his Kentucky seed around the NBA so they can all maximize their minutes and help his recruiting. I thought that was great. Would you take De'Aaron Fox over him? Maybe not for the Suns, but just
for a random team. I think there's more upside with Josh Jackson. I do.
See, I think there's more upside with Fox. I think Jackson is definitely safer.
I think he's more of a wild card. What I've heard about him in pre-draft is he hasn't shot it very well in his private sessions, and that's kind of concerning. And then you go back to his free throw percentage, and you wonder what's going on with the shot. But I think when we have seen these players at their best, there's no doubt that Fox had that. Remember that incredible game he had against North Carolina in Vegas, and they have the 47 against Carolina, mm-hmm. I think, back in December. But I just remember thinking at times Josh Jackson this season, the Michigan State game in the NCAA tournament and a couple of the regular season games, was as good a player as there was in college basketball this year. And I thought, man, he could be the overall number one pick. And that's before, I had great awareness of Fultz at Washington. All I saw was them losing games and thinking, really, this is the guy? And you never saw him play on TV. You had to watch go to YouTube to see some highlights of him. So I thought Jackson would be there was a time during the college basketball season where I thought Jackson was going to be the overall top pick, and that's changed since the end of the season just because of what all the draft nicks are saying. But I don't know. I think when everybody was at their best this season in college basketball, Josh Jackson was as good as anybody.
I can't argue that. What I like about Josh Jackson is that he can absolutely He can absolutely defend. He can absolutely move the ball. And so to me, you're not going to have a guy who can't play. You know, you're going to be able to play with him out there. If you're a championship team, maybe he ends up being a sixth or seventh guy because you need more shooting out there if that shot doesn't come around. But I know he can play. And there are some guys that, you know, frankly, some of the point guards, like I don't even know that D'Angelo Russell can play for a championship team. That's why the Lakers moved him on, and he was the number two player in the draft.
Right.
I'm not sure Okafor's defense, you know, he was the number three overall pick in that same draft. I'm not sure that Okafor's defense is ever going to be one that you could say, we can even let this guy on the floor. I mean, he is so bad defensively. That's why Karl Anthony Towns went number one in that draft. I think you got to worry. I mean, I think if Lonzo Ball flat out can't shoot for the point guard spot, he doesn't deal like Rajon Rondo. And Rajon Rondo, without the defense, does not play. And so he ends up becoming like Ricky Rubio. And the T-Wolves are doing everything they can to back away from Rubio. Now, I actually think Rubio, his shots got a little bit better in the second half last year. I know that only because he was on my fantasy team.
Right.
And his shooting percentage, which was below 400 for the season, went up to like 45%. I mean, he kind of quit taking the ones that were somewhat contested and only took the ones that were wide open. But – you know, so the point guards that can't, you know, do those things, I mean, they end up being guys who can't play for you.
And this is a guard heavy draft too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I
like the French kid.
Yeah. I do too. I understand that he's 10 or lower, likely.
I won't be shocked if he goes higher.
Hmm.
A lot of people have him going like wherever the Mavericks are. He's a popular name for the Mavericks. But I think. I'm not going to be shocked if he goes higher. I expect Zach Collins to go higher.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page with Zach Collins. I know that he's – some of his measurables were not good, like his wingspan, that sort of thing. But, man, I saw him play, and he was –
why does he block so many shots if his wingspan's so bad?
That's a good question.
You know, I mean, I think it'll get harder for him in the NBA, so he's not going to be what looked like in college. You watch the game, you're like, well, this guy's 2.5 blocks in the league. Okay, he's not going to be that, but he's going to be a defender that affects shots.
He's so good around the basket. And I was watching, so I'm covering the national championship game when they played Carolina, and I was thinking, he was in foul trouble the whole game, right? He second foul early, and his third foul too early in the second half, and then he fouled out, and I thought, he was better than the officials. I mean, he's a better player than the officials calling this game.
Yeah.
And that's what a shame it was that Gonzaga didn't have full use of him for that entire game, because he is ahead of the game. I was so impressed with him. He's going to be Gonzaga's first one and done.
Yeah, and I just – so that's a guy that I would look to creep up there. I don't think he's going to get as high as I think he should be in consideration for the number one overall pick, particularly if the Celtics – and I won't be shocked if he goes three to the Celtics.
Hmm. Boy, that would shake up the draft.
He's the metric darling of the draft, by far the best player metrically. So you go through and grind through all the numbers. And who's more into the metrics than Brad Davis and Danny Ainge?
No, that's right.
I absolutely could see him going up there. But I do I do like what you said about Tatum being the guy, because that's the other guy that I thought was really going to move up. And up to number three is really moving up. But I'm surprised that somebody isn't going in front of one of the two point guards. I could see once Philly got up there, okay, I get it's Fultz. But I'm surprised that somebody hasn't moved into two. And maybe they will on draft night. But I'm surprised somebody hasn't moved into two to get to a Tatum or a Jackson or a Zach Collins. Because I just think there's enough flaws in all the point guards, really, that, you know, can Fox shoot it? I mean, they're comparing Fox to Rondo.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if you start at Rondo, then you're probably going to land somewhere below that. You know, I think with Zach Collins, I compare him to a little bit more of a defensive-minded Nowitzki. I don't think he's going to be as offensive, but I think he's going to be better defensively.
And maybe it's because I just
I fall short of Nowitzki, I'm real happy.
Yeah.
Falling short of Rajon Rondo, I'm like, we're looking to replace the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everyone looks to replace Rondo when you got him.
Maybe it's because I just watched that 30 for 30, but Collins reminds me of Kevin McHale.
Yeah.
That size and that kind of game. He can score facing the basket. And I'm really high on him. But one thing I have read in some of the draft analysis is there's nobody in this year's draft that's as good as the projected number one pick in next year's draft, Michael Porter. That he is, you know.
Really?
Yes. I read that in it's one of the draft.
Power Mizzou.
That's right. Power Mizzou. Yeah. The draft breakdown by PowerMizzou.com. That he is he's better than anybody that they project him to be better,
you know,
after a year in college than anybody.
And I put some stock in that, and that's great. That's great for Mizzou. There's no negative to that statement whatsoever for Mizzou. But when I hear somebody say, you got to draft somebody this year because next year's class sucks, then I'll start paying more attention to that, because I've never heard anybody say that.
No, that's right.
Next year's class is always better. Or we don't hear about it. But I really want to hear somebody go like, well, I'll tell you what, better move next year's pick for this year's, because that class next year just blows. No one's ever that definitive about it.
The only time you ever hear that, the only time you pay attention to that, though, to me, is a quarterback, NFL and quarterbacks. You know, when
Oh, okay, so Mahomes blows. You're in on that. He blows, and there's five guys who've gone ahead of Mahomes next year.
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
But look at who the quarterbacks next year are going to be. Louisville,
the USC guy.
Yeah,
the Louisville guy is.
Lamar Jackson.
I'll tell you this: he will not go in the first round. He's more running back than.
Than he is
passer.
The same with.
They're going to wake up to that fact. All the pundits that are putting him up there at 10 are no. And when he comes out, I reserve the right to change my opinion. If he throws for 4,500 yards, 40 touchdowns, and five INTs, then I'll speak differently. But I think the run game is such a big part of what he does.
He won't go as high as Darnold.
Darnold at USC is going to be 1-1.
Yeah.
Is everybody's expectation. And then who are the other ones?
Well,
the UCLA kid, Rosen.
He's like one. There's a one in front of his name, which that door got kicked down with the Cal kid going one overall. But if he doesn't perform well, 2 years ago was Jared Goff. Wasn't that his name?
Yeah.
If Goff doesn't have a breakout year for the Rams, then that's going to hurt Rosen at UCLA.
Rosen.
Yeah, what do they list him at? Isn't he like 100?
Unless Wikipedia says 6'4", 220.
Oh, okay, then I'm wrong. Then one of the big boys is like a kind of a slightly built guy. I was wanting to say, but maybe I'm confused.
The other quarterback who will get a lot of attention, but I don't think he's an NFL quarterback, is Baker Mayfield.
But
Mason Rudolph at Oklahoma State, I think, is under the radar type of guy.
He is very much.
And pundits love that kid at Wyoming, whose name is,
yes,
I don't know anything about him, but he's the kid at Wyoming.
The kid at Wyoming. T-K-A-W. Takaw. We're going to refer to him as Takaw.
I got a better chance of remembering that than his name when I hear
Josh
it.
Josh Allen?
Exactly.
Takaw.
He's testing you.
We're friends. I call him Takaw.
Takaw.
We're pals.
I like that. We got a lot of Takaw type. We got some Takass, that kid at Stanford. Got some Takaff, that kid at Florida.
Yep.
That happens a lot, at least from this chair. So I can't remember anybody's name. All right. We'll take a break, talk a little more about the draft and also about K-State. And is it the end officially of the Bruce Snyder era?
Bill Snyder.
Bruce Weber. I was halfway Bill there.
Snyder. Yep.
Had him half football coach at Arizona State, Bill Snyder.
He had Brad Davis at Boston literally.
And then half Bill Snyder.
The fact that as always is the case.
There is a guy.
Yes.
Or kind of a guy combination, a couple of guys, that the name
You can get there.
It's somebody
you
else.
Can get there from
I can
where you,
for see instance, it from where I'm at.
A few minutes ago, you had Brad Davis as the head coach of the Boston Celtics. I'm like, sure. Well, it's Brad Stevens, but Brad Davis is a name.
He played ball. He played for the Mavericks.
Absolutely.
And I think actually he was also now too.
Yep.
There was also Brad Davis, who was a defensive back for the Redskins, I think, for years. So there's you always find a name somewhere else in sports.
Yeah.
It isn't just some name out of nowhere.
So I'll take partial credit. That's
sure.
what I'll do. Is it the end of the Bruce Weber era when he has yet another player that he recruited that has to be dismissed from the team? I'll talk about that next with Blair Kirkhoff. He's brought to you by the Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, I-35 in Santa Fe. A lot of money riding on this question, Blair. Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star, brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. They're at I-35 in Santa Fe, online at robertbrogdon.com. How many states you've been in? The guesses are, Rob, at, what'd you say, Rob, 12?
Yeah, 36.
36 for Rob. I went 42 trying to position. I think Rob's low. And Curtis went 45. But before we get an answer, I'm gonna bump it up. I'm gonna say 47.
47.
I'm going to bump my answer.
Now, why would you randomly bump it up? Coming out of a commercial break. That seems out of character.
Now that I get a chance to look the man in the eye, looks like a man who's visited at least 47 states.
Well, it is at least 47.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, yeah. 48 for me.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And I wish I could say the contiguous 48, but no. I've been to Alaska and Hawaii.
Really?
These are the two that I have not visited.
You know what else I haven't visited? The word contiguous in the dictionary. I've just taken everybody's word for it, the way they use it, that it means connected.
Well,
the only time
I've ever seen it is after when you talk about the U.S., the contiguous 48. Maine, which is unusual for me because my family is from New England. I have been to New England countless times. I was there last summer, but I've never stepped in the state of Maine.
I thought your family was from North Carolina. You said last week you had family in South Carolina.
All that is true. I grew up. My parents were born in New England, and when they got married, they moved out of New England.
So the rest of the family's up there. Okay,
got some family there, and Wyoming is the final frontier for me. Wyoming, as it. Wyoming should be easy. Should be easy to get Wyoming, right?
Especially since Takah is out there now. You gotta go catch that kid's game.
Yeah, Takah. You gotta go see Takah. Go scout him. Write a story about him.
But I've never covered an event in Wyoming or in Maine, and that got a lot of. I could check a lot of boxes for.
Yeah, the job gives us a lot of spots.
Which Alaska and Hawaii for me.
Yeah, I was thinking, what was my 42 or 43? I was wanting to say. I have to sit down and think about it again.
I'm only at 20.
You're at like 4. Stop lying.
I'm at 20.
We got to get you out.
I know.
He's like, we were talking about his vacation. Going anywhere this year? Nope. All right. Hey, good plan. Like if he sees Missouri in his week off, big effort. big effort.
Said yesterday.
If he sees sunlight in his week off.
Yeah. There will be
mild
days.
Mild surprise. Mild upset.
There will be 24-hour, 30-hour stretches where I don't leave my apartment. I'm just chilling.
Yeah, that's.
I told the SA yesterday. I went to my big excursion. They were comparing their driving trips. Frank and Danny. I said, "Well, I drove out to Raytown a couple weeks ago. You know, checked out the fart museum.
He drove
by the VOTEC, had on 350, and you know, went by my old junior high. Saw the places.
He comes
Mount
back
Carmel
from vacation though, and it's massively developed right arm.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Huge forearm.
Just the right arm though."
It's a quagmire joke from Family Guy. Yes. All right, so is this the end for Bruce Weber when Isaiah Maurice, who I thought showed a lot of promise, had a lot of bounce. I'm like, well, this is a guy you could do something. I mean, this guy, particularly I was thinking when he's a junior because he doesn't have the skill set to be drafted anytime soon, but he's got the bounciness and the body and the athleticism to go toe-to-toe with a KU recruit. So, like, when he's a junior or senior – you could see him match up with a Kansas really talented freshman and be able to hold his own and go at him. I'm like, this is a real building. I love those kind of big guys that are going to be there for 4 years and you can get the mature product and watch their skills go down. Sometimes they blow up fast, like Jordan Bell at Oregon looked like that kind of guy. Yeah. And then he blew up so fast he's going into the draft. And I see a lot of people I'm projecting the second round. I think he's going to go higher than that. But that's what Isaiah Maurice was, a diet version of Jordan Bell, athletic, bouncy 6'9" guy, and now gone. I mean, if you can't recruit the guys to stay at that level?
Yeah, and you're right. He was at times so impressive this year, and you just saw good things from him going forward. That's a problem for K-State, and as you think about them for next year. He was going to be significant for them. And
you figured he was getting starter minutes, I mean, 25 minutes a game.
Yep. So don't know what happened. Don't know what the reason was for his departure, but not a good sign. Weakens a team that I thought was just based on, you know, a June assessment of a team is not going to be as strong as next as it was this past season when they got to the tournament and won a game. So I beginning of the end may sound a little dramatic, but it could be. I mean, I think it doesn't help Bruce Weber. It doesn't help Kansas State for next season, which doesn't help Bruce Weber for next season.
They do add, however, a graduate transfer, Mado Sala.
Is this the Mount St. Mary's?
Yes, he's from Latri Kunda, Gambia, via Mount St. Mary's. which I have read is now, I'm of the knowledge, in Maryland.
Yes, it is.
Couldn't have told you where Mount St. Mary's was before this release came out. And what, you know, I mean, this is clearly a move that's made to replace Maurice. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you could say those dots don't connect.
Right, right.
And you're talking about a kid that at Mount St. Mary's, whatever that is, averaged 5 points and four boards.
Yeah.
This guy's not coming in
not
butting
an adequate
heads
replacement.
With,
no.
You
no.
know.
Not at all. So it's not a great sign for K-State. And I'm starting to do some college basketball stuff for preview magazines. I haven't gotten to K-State yet, but I'm looking at West Virginia's going to be solid again next year. We know KU is. Iowa State's going to, I think, fall back a little bit. Texas,
OU's expecting to take a big step forward.
Texas, which finished last, is going to be better just based on the kid they signed. I don't know what we're looking at with K-State for next year.
I mean, they're going to be picked last, aren't they? Yeah.
They could be. TCU is going to be better. I mean, hey,
we've
but
got a good class
tonight's going to be a good night, though. I think Owandu's going to get drafted tonight.
Too.
That'll be a good. That's a good night for K-State. We'll see what next season brings.
Yeah, disappointing, but look, Bruce Weber has exceeded expectations before. But you get to some point where you're, you know, expecting 10th and you go 9th. Like, no, not good enough.
Right.
Blair, great stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good.